Good morning. How's everybody doing? Merry Christmas to you again. I can say that one more time. Next Sunday it'll be Happy New Year, right? So I'm excited about this morning. We're going to kick off the new year, but we're going to wait the next year to do something I got up my sleeve. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 19. Just one verse this morning. Normally I try to go through several different verses, but I have one verse for you this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just take time to stop for just a minute to say thank you. Thank you for sending your son, your only son, to be born on that Christmas day. Lord, to live a sinless life, die on that cross, and be raised from the dead, to give us that assurance of eternal life. Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you for this season. And Lord, we just pray for all of our church family that's not here this morning, running around doing the things that they're doing and visiting family and resting and those kind of things. We just lift them up. Lord, we lift up all the prayer requests, the spoken and unspoken prayer requests. We just lay at the foot of the cross. Lord, we thank you for our foreign missionaries that are running around in the dangerous areas of the world spreading the good news. Lord, we lift up our military. Father, they're around the world too, protecting our freedoms and our way of life. Lord, a lot of them miss their families this Christmas. They have their own little Christmases around their little spots around the country, around the world. So we lift them up too. Father, we thank you for our neighbors. We pray for our neighbors around our church. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask you to bring the ones in to visit to be a part of our family. Lord, help me teach and preach this morning. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you guys had a good Christmas. Lynn and I had a really good Christmas. My wife Lynn over here. And we went to California to visit our California family and had an adventure flying out there and coming back. No hiccups, but it worked out well. If you guys are visiting, Lynn's family lives in Modesto, California, which is about a hour and a half east of San Francisco. So we had a good time. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't want to take too long on this, but some of you may know, we've told you, or you may have seen our Facebook post, but Lynn's mom, we really mainly went to visit her. She's 87, and she's on dialysis, and you know, it's just getting to that, you know, probably the end pretty soon, and next few years maybe, or something like that. And so we really went out to see her and Lynn's sisters, and we didn't really do any tourist stuff or visiting or anything like that. And her mom's in a nursing home, and she couldn't leave for the first day or two. We were there like 4 days, I think, but first day or two she couldn't leave because she had a little sickness and temperature and all that. And we were thinking, man, we're going to break her out. This is ridiculous, you know. And so around the third day or third night, she got better, the fever broke, and so we went that night and we broke her out of the nursing home jail. It was hilarious. We had a good time. We got her in a wheelchair. We rolled her out the front. And Lynn literally pushed her two blocks down the road to go eat a Red Lobster in the wheelchair. So here's her mom all bundled up, right? And I'm like, no, I can't do this. And I'm freaking out, you know, I'm in California and the crazy people. So I'm driving behind her in the little rental car, you know, and with the bright lights on, with the flashers, you know, giving them light to go down the sidewalk. And people are passing me like I'm an idiot, you know. It's hilarious, but Lynn's precious. She pushed her all the way down two blocks to Red Lobster, and her mom chowed down on some Red Lobster. She ate like $80 worth of seafood. I'm like, well, I'm 80-something years old. On Dallas, you better let me eat, too. You know, but she did. She ate and had a really good time. It was a precious time, a good visit, you know. And so we had a good Christmas. And one more quick story, can I? We had the opportunity to watch our grandchildren. Some of our grandchildren live in Canada, you guys don't know. So we had the opportunity to watch them, our Canadian grandchildren, open up their Christmas gifts on FaceTime, you know. You know what FaceTime is? And that was kind of cool. We enjoyed that, you know, watching them open up. It's not like being there, but still, you know, we had a good time. So this morning, as we reflect on this past year of 2019, I believe that it's really important for us to focus and get our perspective in the Word of God. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So Proverbs 19:21 says this. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Everybody said amen? This morning, I would like to remind you to be very careful about making New Year's resolutions. Okay? Too much worry about next year and too much fret about this past year only leads to undue stress. I've seen it happen so many times. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in setting goals. I believe in, you know, casting a vision maybe for your business or your personal life. I really am very strong about living a life on purpose. So I'm all about goals and visions and those kind of things. But be very careful about planning New Year's resolutions. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Proverbs, it says, "Where there is no vision, my people run wild." That's what God said. So I'm real big on casting visions and making plans. We've got some really cool plans for this coming year in 2020. A lot of us have been talking about certain things we want to do. Usually the bulletin is like full of activities and things that we're doing. We just hadn't met yet with our church council, you know, committee meeting. So be aware, we've got some really good plans. I know that Gary and I and Anita, I know we've been talking about a missions trip. It looks like things are coming together. I've been talking with Grant, our Mercer Association missionary strategist, or whatever they call them these days. And we have a trip planned for like in April to go to St. Thomas. They're having a church, the little island there. It's part of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and they're having a big church-wide conference. And we're really excited about going to that. So I'll be recruiting some folks to go with us. We also maybe wind up going to the Bahamas with Roland Norris and them. And we're going to check on that too. So there's some things coming up. We got a lot of things going on with the men's ministry. So a lot of plans for 2020. I'm excited about the discipleship group that we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights with the men. The youth are going to be doing the same discipleship group. So really excited about it. The ladies are doing their own, right? Where's Kelly? With the kids? Nursery. Yep, the women are doing something on Wednesday night, so we're going to be very busy. But I want to encourage you to be careful about New Year's resolutions. Sometimes we make these New Year's resolutions, they're unrealistic. Sometimes they are really generated from our flesh. And when we do that, it causes self-condemnation, and sometimes it can be a failure for us, and that can eat our lunch. We have to be careful about that. So, saying all that, let's make a commitment for 2020 as a church and our personal goals. Let's be sincere about asking the Father to give us direction on what we want to do, what He wants us to do in our personal life and at Pauline Baptist Church. So what is God's will for your life? What is God's will for Pauline Baptist Church? You've heard me say this a lot. But first we'll start out with Matthew 6:33, and we're all familiar with that. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So as we're seeking God, we're seeking the kingdom of God, let's ask the Holy Spirit to direct us in the year 2020, especially in our personal lives. Matthew 22:37-39 says, I've mentioned this several times over the last month. I believe that God's will for our life and God's will for our church, and here it is. It says, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. I'll say it again. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then the second is, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you'll hear me say that thousands of times, because I really believe that is the will for God's, you know, for our life. Now, I got two questions for you this morning. So if you're taking notes, here's two questions to consider with this year 2020. How can you love yourself? How can you love others? Because we just heard Jesus, he said that the greatest thing out of the whole entire Bible, out of the whole entire everything, the most important thing is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors, love yourself. So how can you love yourself? Now, some folks may think that's kind of weird, kind of strange. You know, it may even come across as kind of selfish, you know. How can I love? Ooh, I love myself. I love myself. How can I love myself? Okay? I didn't say this. Jesus did. Right? He just said it. Out of everything in the entire Bible, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you what? As you love yourself. Jesus said this. I've learned in my counseling career, and I'm sure you've learned just in living life. But here's one thing. If you don't love yourself, it will be very difficult for you to genuinely love others. Remember, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself, it'll be very difficult for you to genuinely love others. Now, I've got some ideas I want to share with you this morning. Okay, outside of prayer and Bible study. Now, you know, prayer and Bible study is, I mean, that's number one. You know, we've got to spend time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. But outside of Bible study, I'm going to give you 10 practical things you can do to start loving yourself. There's a ton of things you can do to start loving yourself. But here's 10 that come to my mind as I was praying this week about this message. So I think this is fresh manna from heaven. I'm not a prophet or any of that kind of stuff, but I really believe this is for you this morning, these 10 things. I'm going to go kind of fast, and then I'm going to repeat them again. If you're interested, I'll email them out, okay, to everybody, or put them on Facebook. So these are 10 things outside of prayer and Bible study. These are 10 things that I think would help us start the process of loving ourselves. So here we go. Give yourself a break. You're not perfect. Forgive yourself. God has, if you've asked Him. Forgive yourself. God has. Stop worrying about what people think about you. Quit focusing on your past. Stop being negative or pessimistic. Find a hobby that makes you happy. Start eating healthy and drinking more water. Exercise and take care of your body. Spend time daily in some kind of personal development. And experience the four elements at least once weekly. I didn't fall off the radar with you on some New Age stuff. I was talking about this in, I think it was deacon meetings last month. I'm real big about the four elements. I think God created it. Remember from school? Dirt, wind, and fire. Not. I was laughing at Glenn because he was like, earth, wind, and fire. I remember them, you know. Anyway. Look at Lynn back there laughing. But, you know, earth, wind, water, and fire. God made all those things. And I think as human beings, we crave to be around dirt, to get dirt on our hands and, you know, that kind of thing. I think we crave to be around water. You know, our body's made up, what, 70, 80% water or whatever? We crave to be around water, to be around a river or a lake or a pond or an ocean, you know. The wind, we all enjoy getting outside when there's a nice cool wind blowing and have that wind blowing on us, you know. And then a fire, who doesn't like getting around a fire and watching a fire burn, right? It's getting that time of season where we can build a fire. So there's positive and negative about all that kind of stuff, but I just think it's important that we try to get outside and get around really nature. This is nature, right? So here's the 10 again, real fast. Give yourself a break. You're not perfect. Forgive yourself. God has. Stop worrying about what people think about you. Quit focusing on your past. Stop being negative or pessimistic. Find a hobby that makes you happy. Start eating healthy and drinking more water. Exercise and take care of your body. Spend time daily in some sort of personal development. And then experience one or four of the elements at least once weekly. Amen? And that's very practical stuff. You know, this is not, you know, spiritually going to be changing your life right now. But I think if you really do this, it will help you. It will help you start loving yourself so that we can become healthy emotionally, psychologically, and then we can love on others. Amen? So let's spend some time here, though, because this is number two. How can you love others? There's Jesus told us, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. So this is my prayer for our church and for me and hopefully for you, the year 2020, next year, that we'll start focusing on what I believe God's called our church to do, is to love people. And I'm a very practical person. I try to be. I try to be a man of simple faith. I don't try to over-spiritualize things. I don't like that. I don't like things to be very mystical and, ooh, you know. All that's just confusion. So I'm real basic and real practical. So, number two, how can you start loving others? See, our modern culture today, as we all know, has a lot of distractions, whether it's on our phone or the internet or, you know, all kinds of things. We're busy in life, man. We've got soccer here and football there and this and that and church and school and business and work. So there's a lot of things going on. And sometimes people are just passing faces that we say hello to, but don't really have a lot of time for. We have to be mindful of that. Okay, showing love to others can seem like an overwhelming task, especially if we're really busy and we got a lot going on. Hey, neighbor! Boom, right in the house. Right? So we have to be careful of that. So, here are seven practical things you can do to start loving people. Here's the seven. Welcome people like friends rather than strangers. Welcome people like friends rather than strangers. See, loving people often begins with an attitude. A Christ-like attitude welcomes people rather than excluding them. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Amen. Number two, look to the needs of others. And this church is really good about that. You know, Acts 2, in this, you know, the second chapter of Acts tells us that that is exactly what the new Christians did. As soon as they got converted, they looked for ways to bless others, especially of the household of faith. But look for ways that you can be a blessing, that you can help meet a need. Did we bring those Wild Adventure tickets? Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Anyway, sorry, side note. I had two Wild Adventure tickets I was going to give you, but if you want to meet me at my house, I can give them to you. So maybe somebody can use them. I'll run and go get them. Anybody like two Wild Adventure tickets? Raise your hand. It's free. You got to use them today, though. Sorry. Okay. But I work at a drug and alcohol treatment program, and we had 28 clients. And someone gave us Wild Adventure tickets for every one of our clients to take on the Wild Adventures. So that was a real blessing. So we got a couple boneheads that got, sorry, I shouldn't talk like that as a preacher. A couple of boneheads that got kicked out this weekend. That's why I didn't go to the move conference. But I don't have no resentment against them. Anyway, so we had two extra tickets, right? So I was going to give them away. But if you still want them, man, they're good until 9 o'clock tonight. So, and if you want two of them, hey, let me know. I think it'd be awesome. Or where was it? Jesus, help me. All right, here's the next one, right? Talk to someone who is different from you. Now, these are very creative, practical things that you could actually do right now and start loving other people. So talk to someone who is different from you. It's easy for us to stay in our comfort zones. It's easy for us to stick with our circles, you know, the people that like the things that we like and go to places that we go and look like us and that kind of thing. So you know, get outside your box. Get outside your comfort zone and talk to people who are different than you. You'd be surprised the doors that God can open up and you can show love. James chapter 2, verse 9 says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory." Next one. Invite someone over to your house for a meal. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. There it is, right? This is the Word of God. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, if you don't have much experience hosting a little get-together or cooking for others, it may seem a little intimidating, you know? But I want you to understand this and listen very closely. Most people don't care that your house might be a little messy. If you come to... Never mind. Sorry. About to make a man mistake right there, wasn't I? But most people's houses are not perfect, right? I mean, raise your hand if you got clothes you haven't folded yet. Raise your hand. See, there, you guys are telling the story. But anyway... Oh, you got a couple of dirty dishes in the sink. Raise your hand right now. See, you know, so nobody cares about that, you know. Really, we need to get over that and invite people over to your house to eat. The very act of coming to your home leads to an opening of hearts and an opening of minds, and it helps us form bonds and we get to know each other. That's really been on my prayer of 2020, is that we all get together. I mean, I've been to a couple of your houses, you know, and I think some of you, a couple of you have been to our house, but we want to start inviting more people. The idea is I want everyone listening to my voice right now, not on Facebook, but right now, I want to have you at our house. You know, we got a little house about as big as this choir loft, but a little house, and I want you to come and eat with us. I want you to come over and hang out, you know, and do something. You don't have to worry about cooking something fancy, right? Some 4 or 5 course meal. I'll come over for hot dogs and hamburgers. Spaghetti. That's cheap, right? Anybody can do that. So invite someone over to your house for a meal. It's loving, especially in the household of the Lord. We all should be hanging out and doing things and with each other and that kind of thing. All right, next one. Allow people to take off their masks. There's a lot of folks walking around wearing a mask, afraid that someone's going to really find out what's going on inside of them. We all need friends that love us just for who we are. This is me. Right? People going through difficult circumstances need a place where they can feel safe enough to be honest about what's going on in their life. To be honest about their challenges and what's happening. We all need a friend. We need those friends that will listen to us and not judge us. That will listen to us and be our friend and not condemn us, not look down on us. We all need those folks who can be real with us. Just be real. Because guess what? None of us are perfect. Me, you, or any of this. And I think I shared before, please, just because I'm a pastor, don't put me on a pedestal. Like I think I've shared this with a couple people. If you hang around me long enough, I'm going to let you down. Yeah. And you as well, right? Because you're not perfect, and I'm not either. So we have to love each other. Be compassionate toward each other. Next one. Pray for people. Pray for people. Love the idea of how we do the prayer walk down the aisles of church. You know, I was getting on that big old plane, 737, and it was taking off. I have a little anxiety, so it always kind of freaks me out. Lynn tried to drug me up, you know, with Dramamine and all this, you know. So anyway, we're chugging along through the air about 9 million miles high, and all of a sudden we go over the Rockies. And we started going over the Rockies, the plane was going, thum, thum, thum. And it was going like, thum. You know, I was like, oh, so I started feeling kind of panicky, you know. And so I remember, you know, about praying to everybody. So I just closed my eyes and I started praying for Jamie and Tammy and right on down the line, you know, Charlotte, Greg, and in my mind. And once in a while, something would come to me and I'd pray a little extra, pray for Shannon and all the girls that sit back there. And I'd go right down the line and I just close my eyes. Plain, Jesus, that's. You know, and I just keep praying. I keep calling everybody's names out. I call your name out. And I actually got all the way through, you know. I do that in the recliner sometimes in the morning when I'm praying for you guys and I fall asleep. And I, whoa, sorry. Jesus. All right. Well, okay, Walter. Anyway, it works. So pray for people. You know, praying for people, sometimes you feel like that it really doesn't count as loving that person, you know. But we all know that when we pray, it involves coming before the throne room of Almighty God, the most powerful being in the universe. So prayer is very important. You see, as believers in Christ, when we pray, God hears us. So our prayers are powerful and they're effective. Amen? Praying for others is actually one of the most powerful, loving things that you could do for them. Now, I know love is a verb in the English language, which means it's an action word. Absolutely. So, giving a pound cake to Lynn and I, you know, Tammy, doesn't help my 12-pack I got going here. But I've lost some weight, though. I've lost about 25 pounds so far. So I'm on the road. But still, we ate half that cake for sure. I think I ate half of it. But that's showing love, isn't it? That's a tangible thing, you know, showing love. But is prayer tangible? I don't know. Maybe so. We send the smoke up to heaven, you know, the prayers and the symbolic thing of prayers. I think prayer is very, very important. And it's a great way to show love. All right, here's the last one. And I'm running a little over. The last one. Smile at people. Smile at people. The simple act of smiling communicates warmth, welcome, love, and it can pave the way to a conversation. Howdy, neighbor. Just don't take them rum cake, right? Howdy, neighbor. I did that one time. Not a good idea. How you doing? Smile, okay? Because that paves the way for a conversation which could end in an invitation. An invitation to a cup of coffee. To a lunch. A dinner. An invitation to church. An invitation to come to the altar. To accept Christ as a personal Savior. That one smile, that one little wave could end up changing an entire family. I've seen it happen. Amen? Now, I know most of the time love is a struggle. It can be a struggle for people. It's impossible to really love and please everyone perfectly. None of us can do it. That's why love requires humility, requires kindness, requires, most importantly, it requires all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, all that. I got to memorize, but I don't want to try to impress you. But those nine fruits of the Spirit. But more important than anything, it requires us to have dependency on God. It can be easy sometimes to get caught up in the legalistic thing of loving others, making check marks, make sure I do this, do that, do this. Of loving others shouldn't feel like a burden. It shouldn't feel like it's draining. If that happens, we wind up becoming cynical, right? The love should come from the heart. It should come from Jesus. This is why we don't trust in our own ability to love, but rather we trust in the one who showed us what love truly is. 1 John 4, 9 through 11. 1 John 4, 9 through 11. Listen closely. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? Like I said last week, this is why Jesus came. This is why He died on the cross. Because God loved us. Jesus loved us. He takes away our weariness. And He gives us His Spirit that enables us to cry out to God as our Abba Father. Just like a child cries out to the Father. He is a good, good Father. By God's abundant grace, we are filled with His bountiful and unchangeable love. We now have the freedom. Once this happens, we now have the freedom to love God and to love ourselves so that we can love others. Amen? Really. As I said earlier, and I'll close, as we said earlier, be careful of the New Year's resolutions. Too much worry about next year and too much fret over the past year only leads to undue stress. So, as we reflect on the past year of 2019 and we begin thinking about the new year of 2020, that sounds kind of cool, don't it? 2020. I believe that it's real important for all of us to keep our perspective grounded in the Word of God. Now read that scripture at the beginning one more time. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." And also Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man or the righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way." Amen? So in 2020, I pray and hope that we all will love God by loving people. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord. Thank You for this time together. I pray that Your word would go forward and will not return void, which You said it would. I thank You to the folks here this morning. Father, as we sing this song of invitation, if there's anyone here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that this will be a time they can come down and make it right with You. I'd love to pray with them. Lord, if there's anyone who'd like to get baptized, please let them talk with me. We'd love to take them through that process of baptism. Or maybe someone would like to join our church and start off 2020 as Lord, we give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.